的时候，对，哈利路亚，
哈利路亚
，He has won the victory， 哈利路亚 ，He did it for me， He did it for you， Death could not hold him down， He is the risen King， and is seated in majesty， He is the risen King。So Father, as we come before you today, we just come with humble hearts, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to give the word to your people on today. So Lord, I just ask you to bless the service, bless everyone who's going forth on today. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. I have the first word. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, as he was hanging up on the cross, drip blood streaming down. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've just got a little testimony to tell. A few years ago, I was on a quest to get more knowledge about God, to learn more knowledge about God, to learn more about the Bible. And I took a course called Systematic 3. Now, just briefly, Systematic 3 is saying what the whole Bible has to say about any given topic. So one of my assignments in the class was to write a paper on forgiveness. And so we had to read a book called Unpacking Forgiveness, the author's Chris Barnes. And so the teacher gave us some guidelines, the professor gave us some guidelines. And we were to present arguments in the paper. It was supposed to be a 10-page paper. We were supposed to present arguments in the paper as it related to what this author was saying in his book. And we were supposed to support our arguments with scripture. So here's some of the questions that we had to consider as we wrote the paper. What does it mean to forgive? What is the purpose of forgiveness? How do you know in your heart that you have truly forgiven someone? Why is it important to forgive? Is it necessary for the person who is forgiven to repent if they are still living? So as I was preparing for this message, some more questions came across my mind. If the person or offender doesn't have a clue or understand the magnitude of the wrong they have done to someone, but the person they have done the wrong to knows and prays to God to forgive that person, will God forgive that person based on the prayer of the one who was offended? And then I had to think about this. How can the person repent if at that moment he or she doesn't consider what they are doing as sinful? So I think about the soldiers. Okay, the first part of the scripture said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The second part of that same verse says, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So here you have the soldiers at the foot of the cross, gambling for Jesus' clothes. I mean, they really didn't understand what they were doing because that's what Jesus was praying in his prayer. And he said, Father, forgive them. So when I thought about them, I'm like, is he just talking about the soldiers at the foot of the cross, gambling? Is he talking about those same soldiers that nailed him to the cross? And I'm saying them. So for me, I'm like, okay, if he's saying them, he's including everybody that did him wrong. Everybody that didn't understand what was going on to him, going on with him being the Son of God. All those who went beyond the boundaries of the law, that's what transgressors mean. They didn't care that he was innocent. They went past the law because he was supposed to be proven not guilty, right? They went past the law, and they condemned the innocent man, and then they nailed him on the cross. And so the soldiers were doing what they normally do. Here they are at the foot of the cross, counting for our Savior's clothes. They didn't have any remorse. They were guiltless. They're gambling for our Savior's clothes because that is what they did. When the Roman soldiers comfort an enemy, now normally they would wait until the person was dead and then they'd get whatever they could get from. that our Savior is not a rich man. So the only thing they thought was worth value was his garment. Of course, the garment was sewn in one piece. So they're like, okay, let's just gamble for this and see who will get this garment. But you know what I thought about? I was like, it's kind of sad that a person wouldn't have a clue that they were being prayed for and God was asked to forgive them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one person asking. This was the Son of God that was there. These men gambling didn't have no guilt, no remorse, no shame. In fact, nailing someone to the cross was one of their regular things. They did this on a daily basis. So these soldiers had hardened hearts. I mean, it was like they didn't care that somebody was up there suffering. To them, Jesus was just another criminal. And he had been charged, unwrongly charged, but they deemed him guilty, and he was sentenced to die.
Yes.
So they didn't even know they were fulfilling the prophecy in Psalm 22:18. They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.
Yes.
So as I'm thinking about this paper that I had to write, I'm looking at Jesus. Jesus is my model for forgiveness. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to unpack forgiveness because he did that for me.
Yeah.
In fact, he taught me that I must pack love in my heart so that I can be able to forgive those who sin against me, whether they feel sorry about it or not. And so Jesus was the model of forgiveness because he taught on forgiveness. Do you remember in Matthew 18:22 when Peter was asking Jesus, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? What did Jesus say? No, you must forgive 70 times 7.
Yeah.
And then he went on to tell a parable about the unforgiving servant. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, it don't matter how many times, it's limitless. How many times somebody comes and do you wrong, you got to forgive. It don't matter. It's a continuous cycle of forgiveness that we are to do. And so the unforgiving servant was forgiven for not making his payments back. And then he had the nerve to go out and then forgive somebody else that owed him. Shame on him. So Jesus had a double lesson in that one. So supposed to forgive continuously. And if somebody forgive us, we should be forgiving somebody else.
Amen.
And then one of the scriptures that's close to my heart that always, when I feel like I'm just so angry at somebody, I remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:15. If we don't forgive, then our Father in heaven is not going to forgive us. Now let's face it. Sometimes we get emotional about when people do something wrong to us. We get angry, we get hurt. And sometimes we just got to think about should we forgive them or not. But every time I think about what Jesus said, if we don't forgive, our Father is not going to forgive us. And I want God to forgive me. And so Jesus had an attitude of forgiveness. I mean, this was just his nature. He was loving, he was merciful, he was gracious, he was compassionate. And when he taught the disciples how to pray, part of that prayer was, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, he's teaching on prayer. He modeled what forgiveness was. And so he had a spirit of forgiveness. And then now Isaiah 53 says, he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He fulfilled the scripture, but it still was his nature to forgive. So I thought about the stress that Jesus had to be going through. The whole 3 years that Jesus was preaching on earth, people were just after him to kill. He couldn't do enough good because everything he did, they turned around, they told lies on him and everything. So here's a man that's still trying to do good in the midst of being wrongfully accused, being tricked, being talked about and everything. And yet he still had that heart of forgiveness. Because it's all about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it takes love to forgive. We got to love. It's not about our feelings, because our feelings will get in the way.
just walk in the commands of God. And so while they're hanging on the cross, Jesus is watching these cold-hearted criminals, unbelieving, guiltless soldiers gambling for his clothes. And I don't think Jesus was mumbling when he said that prayer. I think they heard him clearly. And who knows who else around them heard him clearly. Say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They heard his prayer, but they probably didn't even think it was for them. They probably was thinking, what is this man talking about? Because if I was up on the cross, I tell you, I wouldn't be trying to pray for somebody to just put me up there. I'm going to pray for
my
It wouldn't be my words that I'd be talking or thinking about the prayers that I need. So sometimes forgiveness is based on the fact that someone who's offended us, you know, we make them aware of it. And then once we tell somebody, oh, you hurt my feelings, you did this and that. Now, if that person has compassion, they'll say, okay, I'm sorry. They'll ask, please forgive me.
Yeah.
And our response should always be, I forgive.
Yeah.
Not, I'll think about it. Not, let me sleep on it. Not, let me ask God what I should do.
Yeah.
But, and then sometimes with the offender is aware of what they've done, but they feel like they're justified. The guy that killed those 9 people in South Carolina, he thought he was justified in what he did. He had no remorse. But the people that were part of that terrible evening forgave him. And some people couldn't believe that they were on their stand, they forgave him. I mean, and still when he got accused and put in jail, he still was acting like what he did was okay. But these people model forgiveness by saying we forgive him. And so we can forgive people, but how often do we ask God to forgive them? I can say I forgive somebody, but how often do I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did? Because I want them to know what they did before I forgive them. But then I want them to tell me I'm sorry before I forgive them. And you know what? God doesn't want us to even worry about whether the person feels remorse. He wasn't worried about whether those soldiers gathering his clothes at the foot of the cross felt remorse. He just prayed for them. He prayed for them. So this is what forgiveness means for us. We forgive the other person who is aware of it. It's not about being angry at that moment. It's just about the fact that God said we need to forgive, because if we don't, he's not going to forgive us. If you don't think about nothing else for forgiveness, when you get angry at somebody, just think about the fact that if you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. I don't want that on my head. I'm not going to worry about my feelings. I'm just going to go ahead and forgive. And ask God, please fix my heart, Jesus. So forgiveness is an attitude. It's not based on emotions. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God. It's a move of love towards our offenders, whether they are aware of it or not.
Amen.
So, when I think about all the things that happened to Jesus, because when I was reading through Matthew 27 and Mark 15, they did some horrible things to our Savior.
Amen.
They stripped him. They spat on him. They put a crown, not gently on his head, but pressed it in and the blood came streaming down. Then they gave him a reed. Now, a reed is kind of like a long stock plant, but it's thick. They said it's like the thickness of a man's thumb. So it's thick. They gave it to him, mocked him, bowed down like he was king. They didn't really mean that he was king, even though he was the king. They spit upon him. They beat him on the head with the reed. I mean, over and over and over and over again, they beat this man. And in Luke 6, Jesus said, but to those who will listen, I say, love your enemies. Really, Lord? Love my enemies that are beating on me, spitting on me, slapping me, kicking me, calling me a liar, everything but a child of God. Really, Lord? Yes. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And Jesus did that. He's our example. He's our model of forgiveness. last words, I thought to myself, why is that the first word? Why is this the first word, Father, that you're saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And then to people that don't even have a clue to what they're doing, he's our high priest. That's when Jesus came, he was our high priest. When he got crucified, the curtain was torn. We could go to Jesus on our own and pray to him. But now, Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. So he still interceded, and he was interceding right there on the cross for those people that didn't even know what they were doing was wrong. So God's forgiveness is gracious. It's offered freely to us because it's motivated by love. And he sent his only son, Jesus, to pay the price for us. He died to save our souls so that we can be forgiven by our sins and go to God and ask for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness. And a lot of times when we pray and ask for forgiveness, we really got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus sent us him too. We have all the help we need. There's no excuses for not forgiving someone. But put your feeling to the side. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. Right. So if somebody offends you, don't worry about whether they know what they're doing or not. Mm-hmm. And if you think they don't know, say, because this is what I'm going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.